welcome to the 20 Minutes of Filler podcast, episode number 52. I am your host, Jason Kotarski, and I'm here with a couple cool dudes. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves to my next to me, because you guys can't see which way I'm pointing, is...
Eric Carlson.
Yeah, back again! Full effect! And our other friend, who's been a while, but he's here again.
Chris Sumowitz.
Yeah! So, we are having a little fun today. So we're going to talk about a specific genre of games. We're going to get to talking about stacking games, where you stack things. And we're not going to cover them all, because guess what? There's probably a bazillion stacking games. But we're going to talk about a few that we were able to play today while we were hanging out. But before we get to that, I just want to check in with you guys. What's going on? What have you been playing lately that's cool, Chris?
For Christmas, I bought my brother-in-law All Creatures Big and Small, Agricola 2-player version. We've had a lot of battles lately. That's been a lot of fun.
Dude, I really want to play that game, because I think that appeals to me. Like, 2 players, quicker, not as many cards, no cards, right? Like, you're just, like, going for it. You don't have to feed your people, which is nice.
Yeah.
I got that, too. I haven't been able to play it. We almost got to play it today until Eric showed up and ruined everything.
You're welcome.
It has everything you love about Agricola. The choices, the building. I love when you get done with a game and you can see your farm that you've built with all the animals. It's a really fun game.
But no feeding your folks, right?
Yeah, without the added
That's the worst.
Your family.
That's cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. And I'm going to get at the table. You can teach it to me next week or something. Okay? Sweet. Eric, what about you? What are you playing?
I played Between Two Cities. It's a tile laying game.
By friends of Green Couch Games, Ben Rossett and Matthew O'Malley. Stonemeyer Games put that one out. I haven't played it yet. How was it? It's a tile laying game.
It's tile laying. It was fun. It's kind of cooperative tile laying, but you don't want to be too cooperative. It has a lot of really interesting choices and working together, but not too much.
So it's cooperative in the sense that you are building a city in between the player to your right and in between you and the player to your left. Kind of the deal?
You're building a city with the player on your right and with the player on your left. So you're each contributing 2 tiles per turn to a city. So you're building 2 cities and the other person is building 2 cities. And so you kind of have this shared city, there's a weird kind of scoring mechanic where the best city is not the winner, it's the second best city. And so it's very kind of confusing, and you gotta...
That sounds like Reiner Knizia scoring. He does a lot of weird stuff like that in games.
Yeah.
But so, you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was good. We played a couple games of it, and it was fun.
And you had like 4 or 5 people playing?
Four people, yeah.
And how long did it take per game?
I'd say like 20, 30 minutes. It was pretty quick.
Cool, yeah. Like, from the looks of it, when the components are top-notch, because that's what Stonemaier Games does, they're like Kickstarter kings, and they deluxe everything out. It looks like it's going to be a meteor Euro game, but I'm glad to hear it has that quick playtime, because it does look interesting, but I didn't know enough about it to really dive in, but I'll have to give that one a second look.
It was good. Yeah, cool. Do it.
I got to play one of the best fillers ever made. Maybe I say that a lot on this show. Maybe not, though. This is by a dude named Dave Chalker, and I haven't played it in a while, but I pulled it out. We had some new people at GameSpace this week, and it's Get Bit from Mayday Games. And have you guys ever played Get Bit?
No.
We got to pull that one out sometime soon. So Get Bit, the idea is there is a shark. It's a Lego shark with a jaw that opens and closes. And each player has this little like Lego-looking guy, but he's not a Lego guy. He's bigger. And his legs come off and his arms come off. So you line up the people in a row and put the shark at the back of the line. You each have cards numbered 1 through 7. So it's a blind bidding game where everybody chooses a card from their hand and reveals it at the same time. And then in order, as long as your cards aren't tied with anybody else, you go from lowest card to highest card, moving to the front of the line. So if you play a low card, you're going to move to the front of the line. But if everybody didn't match, you might end up in the back of the line again. And every round, whoever's in the back gets bit and loses an arm or a leg. So if if you lose both your arms and legs, then you're out of the game. So you can either pick up your cards again when you get bit and go to the front of the line, or you can pick up your cards when you have 1 card left in your hand. So not everybody can like perfectly know what you're going to play that time. But you're looking around the table because it's open information. All the cards that you played remain face up. So you're like, there's a couple 5s out there, so this might be a good time to play my 5. And then the one other person who hasn't put their 5 plays is you, and you both don't move, and you're in the back, and you get bit. And, oh, man. So Mayday's not a newer edition of this, a deluxe edition, and it comes in a little tin. And oh, man, it's such a great game. I have an earlier version. It was one of the first Kickstarter games I ever bought.
Nice.
Because it had been put out by this small company. I think they're called Robot Martini, and it went out of print. And Tom Vassell gave this review talking about it was one of the best fillers ever. So I'm like, oh, I need this game. And then I can't find it. And then it came to Kickstarter, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this Kickstarter thing. And I got my copy of Get Bit, which is a wonderful game from Dave Chalker. It's so simple, but it's a ride. We played it 2 times in a row, which doesn't happen a lot of game night because everybody's tons of stuff that we want to get in. So it's been a good little while. I've been getting into the groove of playing games. Got to play some stuff that wasn't prototypes and Green Couch Games related lately, so that's always nice. But let's move on to the order of the day. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Cool. So, you guys are familiar with games like Jenga, which is probably like the, and even earlier than that, Blockhead, games that are like these classic games where you stack things, right? So, everybody knows Jenga. Jenga, 3 boards one way, 3 boards the other way. You find a loose spot in the tower, you take it out and put it on top, try not to knock it over. That game sold like hotcakes. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted that game so bad. I saw a commercial, asked for it for Christmas. I needed that game when I was a kid. Do you guys have horror stories with Jenga or good stories or anything to do with Jenga?
I kind of have a horror story slash kind of a good story. So my mom is an interesting person, we'll just say this. And she decided 3 years ago that we were going to have a new way of opening presents on Christmas Day. And she decided that for whatever reason that we were going to play Jenga. And whenever you'd pull a Jenga piece, you would there would be either the word gift, which would mean you could open one of your gifts, or sing a song, or give the person to your right a hug, or you name it. I don't know. It's pure ridiculousness, but it's become a tradition, and I have to do this every year. So
you still do this? You still have the same Jenga set that's all written on from when you were a kid?
No. This started like 3 years ago.
Oh, 3 years ago. Years old. It's not from when you were a kid.
No, she. That's what I'm saying. She's interesting.
It's like forced family intimacy.
It sounded fun. Yeah.
That's great. And
It's interesting.
It's interesting. Nice.
I could just say that.
Way to commit. It's interesting. One of the things that's really clever about Jenga that I've heard about, I haven't played it yet, is there's a role-playing game called Dread. And the decisions that you make, like, you have to pull tiles. Instead of rolling dice to figure out if you're successful, you have to pull a Jenga piece. And, like, you're in there in this physical space with this mounting tension of tower that could crumble at any moment. So that seems like a cool new way to take that game and apply it. We actually met the designer of Jenga at the Chicago Toy and Game Fair a couple of years ago.
Wow.
She wrote a book about Jenga, and, like, they gave everybody at the fair free copies of it, and she autographed it. We went and met her to autograph it. And my wife's... one of her students was, she teaches kids with autism, and one of his obsessions was Jenga. So, nice. Like, we got a photograph of her, like, as the inventor, like, signed the photograph of him and stuff. So, absolutely. It's just a game, like, there's something about stacking in, like, this physical space, right? And it's like, that tension is the moment. You know, I saw my kid playing it with her cousin at Christmas time, and, like, they were just like, this was the coolest thing ever to watch them experience something that I'd known about that, like, would pass over a million times, you know, since the first time I heard about it 30 years ago or whatever. Like to see my kids and my kid and, you know, my goddaughter playing this game, I was just like, man, what is it about stacking that is so awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a little pressure of luck in there as you're trying to move things around. At which piece do you pull? And mystery.
Do you go easy or do you go for fun? And like, a couple of more recent ones, Rhino Hero. Have you guys played Rhino Hero?
No.
Rhino Hero's cards and they're like folded walls. And we've talked about it on the show before, but you have this little superhero wooden piece, and each card you have in your hand, it's shedding, so you have cards you're trying to get rid of, and you do that by placing a tile, and there's an action on it, either reverse the order or move the rhino or whatever, but it has markers on it for where you put 2 folded walls. So you put a card, and then you put the 2 walls that match, and then you put the top card, right? So you put the walls on the top card, and then add your top card. And then the action happens. And you're building this building taller and taller, and you have to move this little wooden piece, which may be, like, off-center or, you know, and so it's a quick dexterity game that Haba puts out, and it's got some beautiful components. They have, like, silver embossing and stuff. Mm. That's been a hot one of late that a lot of people have really taken to. But we played a couple today that we want to kind of talk specifically about. So the first one we played was called Wonky. One of you guys want to talk about how Wonky is played? I may have talked about this back Gen Con this year because I had a lot of fun with my buddy Chris Kopak with this game. It's published by USAopoly.
Yeah, Wonky has three different sized blocks that aren't quite square. They have a little bit of curvature to some of the sides, and you have cards, and you're playing the cards to stack the blocks, and the person who knocks the tower down gets to take a couple extra cards. So it is fun and frustrating at the same time.
Yes, and there's some special actions in there too. Certain cards have like reverse order again. Everything feels very classic and simple, but like there's one small twist. Like you're not just stacking blocks, you're stacking misshapen blocks. Like they're not perfect cubes.
One could even say they're a bit wonky.
Oh, the box is even wonky, guys.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It's a misshapen box.
So the idea then is you just try to get rid of your cards, but you can really set the next player up to fail.
Yeah.
Like you can be mean and like pick, but you get choices in this game because you're choosing what card am I going to play, and if they have a reverse card, how bad am I hurting myself if they play that right back on me? So you want to be nice, but not too nice.
You should really consider that reverse card. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, save that until you absolutely need it. But some of the other ones are like you draw a card. So if you can't play, you have to keep drawing cards until you can play one. And the cards are specific to color. Like, you have to play the bottom big block in purple. Or there's some wild cards in there, too. So, really fun game. I recommend it for the family crowd.
Yeah.
I've seen it at Barnes & Noble and stuff since it came out. So, yeah, very cool. So, another one that we played was a classic. I don't know how classic it is, because I've never heard of it until I stumbled on it in a thrift store, but it's by Gigamic. And Gigamic makes a lot of the classic, what are they called? Abstract strategy games. So they put out Corridor and Quattro, these really nice versions of just like thinky wooden games, really nice quality. So I saw that and I'm like, well, this is a bunch of wooden dice. I'm going to check it out. And it came with a round fuzzy dice tray and three different sizes of wooden dice. There's a giant red die, some medium-sized, larger-than-average green dice, and then a bunch of just natural-colored regular D6s, except for the ones have the G from the Gigamic logo on them. And it's called... Did I say the name of the game yet?
I did not.
The game is called A Game by Gigamic. No, it's called Bataclan. So, in this game, you roll... Everybody starts with, like, a little supply of dice. You have a few of each of the different types, and you roll the dice. And you have to stack them in ascending order. So, you start with a 1, and then you can go 2, you can go 3. You can stack as many as you can in ascending order, or you can stop after you've done 1. On future turns, you can choose which dice to roll and which dice to keep, but you have to roll at least one die. And if you can play, you have to play. So it gets crazy depending on what you roll in order, how this tower starts stacking. So what do you guys think about this game?
This was my favorite game of the three. I really liked the choices you need to make. And I really liked that you weren't limited by the cards that you drew.
Like in Wonky,
you know, you could only play certain blocks or whatever. But in Bataclan, you make all the choices. I mean, you could roll, you know, numbers that didn't fit, you know, where the tower was. But for the most part, you made the choices, and I love the pressure luck element to it. I love that you kind of could determine to set your opponent up with a difficult play, or you could kind of hold back so that you could have more dice to roll later on.
So. Absolutely, yeah, and you had a really good turn where you stacked almost all of your, like, I think we are each started with, like, 10 dice. So, like, I can't imagine a 30-tower, you know, 30-tall dice tower that is made of regular-sized D6s. You know, that would be wild. But we didn't get that high. But we got pretty high. You went through a good, like, I think you went through 8 of them in 1 on 3 of mine. So it was just this kind of, like, leaving this really precarious tower for Eric to deal with.
I think one more got placed on top of that, if not 2.
Yeah.
And I was surprised because I thought I kind of took it to its limit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it comes down to the dice roll at the end. Like, everybody's down to a couple dice, and you're rolling one of your dice, and it's not the right number. So, you don't have to stack on that precarious tower, you know? So there's a little bit of randomness. There is that pressure luck of, like, how far do I want to go, or how bad do I want to hold back just to let somebody else fail so I have an edge on them in the future? Really simple idea, but it was a really enjoyable thing. I've only played it a few times, yeah. But I'm glad we pulled that one out.
It was quick. I like the pace of it. You know, you can get a couple games in 20 minutes probably, and it's just fun.
Yeah, and it's a really nice set of dice. If you find it at a thrift store, definitely pick it up because it's got some cool stuff. I'm actually missing one of the giant red dice, which is a bummer, but it's okay. We can still be
friends. That's why Chris won.
He had an extra green. We each had one red and one green.
Well, that makes it more difficult because the green is smaller.
It is. Unless you roll a one and it's like the first one in the pile, right?
That's true.
The big one needs to be that base, the foundation. So that one was a lot of fun. So I like that one too. The other one we played was a recent Kickstarter. It was just released from IDW Games, and it's called Cat Tower. It actually arrived on my doorstep yesterday, and I was itching to play this one. So it comes from a designer named Asa Chen, who is associated with the Taiwan Board Game Group, who also has done some really neat stuff, like the upcoming Green Couch Games title, Walk on Fire. Pokey Chen is a part of that group. So Cat Tower it's cute. It's got this really interesting, chubby character named Catty Fatty, and they're trying to reach a fish, which is the theme. And all it is cats that are these cards that are folded, right? And they have, like, they're scored, so they fold nicely. Kind of like in Rhino Hero, the cards fold nicely. The pictures of the cats don't matter in the base game. They're just, you start with 7 cards, and you're trying to get rid of them. So this thing is, like, we're seeing this theme of, like, you have something, you're trying to get rid of it. Jenga is it different because you don't have your own supply of things, but the ones that we played today all had that similar feature. So you have these folded cards, you roll a die that has an action on it. Stack one cat, stack two cats, stack give your neighbor one to stack, give stack one upside down. There's a couple of those actions. One of is the fatty catty, which is like the little twist, because otherwise it feels very much like animal upon animal. You've played that one, right, Eric?
Yep.
Where it's almost the same rules. You just roll a die, you place an animal on top of the animal. Classic filler, wonderful game. So to me, this one, Cat Tower, doesn't like add a whole bunch, except for like it's got this random thing where another set of actions come out if a catty fatty card gets added to this Cat Tower. So what this really has going for me is the cute art. Mm-hmm. And I think that it would be good to play with the group that isn't around these games because they'd see it and think, wow, I need to play that game.
Yeah.
And it made for a fun experience, but not after playing the other stacking games that we played today, I think.
Right.
You guys agree with that?
It was beautiful art. Beautiful art.
Great production, too.
Great production value. Has really interesting... It looks really interesting, and no tower is going to be the same.
So yeah.
It does have a lot of replayability to it. I think I need to play it a couple more times before I made any concrete judgments on it.
Yeah, and I don't mean to sound like I'm trashing the game, because I typically, like, if I don't like a game, I'm not going to talk about it on this show, right? Like I just don't do that. So what I think about when I play a game is, who would I recommend this game for? So it's that audience that like, we want to go to a public place and play a game that's going to, like, show off the games are fun and interesting and different than what you remember. And I think it maybe would be good with kids, because I think the theme will sell hard, like, with a younger crowd.
Yeah.
The mechanics are very kid-like, because you just roll that random die, and the Catty Fatty brings out a tile, which is almost identical to the die with a couple little twists. Like, you place a fatty catty and put a token on top of it. Now, the thing is, like, if you knock over the tower, you draw to take two cats back into your hand to add to your pile. But if you knock off a chip, the cat tower chip that was on the Catty Fatty card, that's weird to keep saying that, Catty Fatty, over and over again. then you have to take back three instead and just leave whatever is left of the standing tower to continue for other players to build on. But it's got some charm. But it's not like a home run for me, so I'll hang on to it.
I think it's for the cat lover in your life, that person that has 5 or 6 cats. I have a specific couple friend of mine that they would love this game, sure, because of the number of cats involved in stacking.
Awesome. You know, actually, that's the opposite reason of why I'm going to keep it in my collection, because I'm never going to have cats. But I did catch myself watching cat videos last night on Facebook before I went to bed. Little kittens, they had my heart, man. It was hard. Well, guys, hey, that's 20 minutes. So I just want to say thank you for coming over and playing stacking games with me. Thank you guys for listening. Why don't you tell me on Twitter some of your favorite stacking games? What am I missing? What do we need to look at in the future? You can tweet at me, at Jason Katarski. Where can people find you guys?
This is Eric. You can find me at DonutCow11 on Twitter.
And Chris, where do people find you? You don't have to give your home address. You're not on Twitter, are you?
I mean, I'm on Twitter, but I'm not on Twitter.
How about this? Chris, a photographer. You can check out his photography.
Toucanphotography.com.
If you're looking for a wedding, I can marry you, and Chris can take the pictures.
Nice.
Sounds fantastic.
Just kidding. Maybe, sort of. But hey, thank you so much, and you guys are awesome. Thanks for listening. Get out there and play some great little games.